generous introduction that you have given me. I do stand before you as a man that is fearful and of that of fearing the chastening hand of an almighty God. I don't fear you, my brethren and sisters. I love you. But yet I fear that God will leave to some degree and I might not be able to fulfill what you might need in this hour. Now I know that the Lord is able to bless, and I hope that you've been praying, and I hope you'll continue to pray. And I suppose what's on my mind tonight is the Spirit of God, because I saw that when I went in, and I see it now. You know, we have to ask of God through our lives for things because we understand and know that we within ourselves cannot acquire and cannot worship and cannot walk in a pleasing way without Him. But now, who helps us along the way? It's the very Spirit of the love of God in our heart. If we didn't have that, brethren and sisters, we'd be so forlorn and forgotten and cast away. And a lot of times when I try to talk to God's people, I try to read a little in the Old Testament and maybe some in the New. You might have noticed that. I hope you have. If you look this evening at 2 Samuel, let's go to the 5th chapter. The 18th verse through the 23rd. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines?" I've inquired of the Lord a whole lot in my life. Have you? I believe you have. Lord, what shall I do? "Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." And David came to Baal-perazim. And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he says, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go up before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." The 24th verse says, "And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." I believe I see a message in that of God and the Spirit of God, don't you? The wind of God's love blew, and even in a natural aspect here, and bestirred the limbs and leaves and the mulberry trees, and God told David, "When you hear that, it's time to go." So oft times we go before we hear. So oft times we go before the Spirit enters in that of leading and directing us, and we go in a wrong way, don't we? So oftentimes our souls are melted down to the degree to where we hardly know which way to go because the Spirit maybe is not there in that hour. The Spirit's the best tool, the best thing that we've got in this world for a child of God. Now, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're one, are they not, in unity? And we have something given us from heaven's world, right straight from the throne of God, and that of the Spirit. You know, we Primitive Baptists down home, we like Romans 8 pretty well. There in Paul's letter to the Roman brethren, we'll find the word Spirit one time before we get to the 8th chapter of Romans. But in the 8th chapter of Romans, we'll find it, I believe it's, 26 times. And he says in that Romans 8 and 1 and 2 and 3, and we'll go down, the Lord being our helper. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the life of Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, if we stop right there and consider, that's great, isn't it? We have been made free from the law of sin and death because of what Christ has done for us. The law of Christ Jesus, the understanding, the feel in our heart and soul that He's ours. Brethren, that's the best thing in the world. The Spirit feeds us and instructs us and teaches us that He's ours. That someday after the trials and tribulations and the turmoil of this life is over, we'll be in heaven. Were it not for the Spirit, brethren, we wouldn't have that in our soul, would we? Teaching us. For what the law could not do. You remember we had the law. The Hebrew children were under that law. That law was a burdensome law. That law was a bondage, more or less, to those brethren because of a natural way. The law says, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And the law says, bring me a bullock or a ram or a turtle dove and a pigeon. And when he brought it there and he offered that there, the priest would take the blood in to the most holy place. And what did the law say? You're guilty. The law could not make the comer thereunto perfect, but we have the Spirit teaching us today that Christ came into the world and did something for us that the law could not do. And He came and put away sin. We're guilty no more. We're guilty sinners standing before God and without Christ and the blood of Him on Calvary's cross, where would we be? Don't you know that I'm glad tonight that the Spirit teaches me and helps me to understand and know that Jesus Christ, the perfect Savior and the perfect sacrifice, is forever put away sin. And that if I ever reach heaven's and immortal glory, and I've got that hope, I want to go to that tonight, the Lord being our helper. Is this hope that we're talking about, that the Spirit teaches us about? Is that a hope like I lost a penny down there and I start scratching in the flower pot? I'm going to hope I can find that penny down there somewhere. No, sir, this hope we got in Christ Jesus is stronger than that. If the Spirit teaches us, brethren, we've got something. We got a hope as an anchor of the veil, both sure and steadfast, and is entered in. Where? Into heaven's pure world. There it is. If I wanted to anchor my little old fishing boat at home, I let that anchor down. And I let it go down as deep as it'll go and settle down on the earth, on the ground, and there my little boat's anchor. Now, it's kind of a different kind of anchor, isn't it? Our anchor in Jesus Christ, our hope in Jesus Christ, goes straight up into heaven's world. Aren't you glad the Spirit teaches us that? Aren't you glad tonight that we can feel that He's my Savior and my Lord? Aren't you glad that we can say, and I won't go through that, I didn't know I'd get on this, and the Lord being, I tell myself, I told the brethren the other night, self, don't go that way. Self, let's stay here. But don't you know that David was happy when he could say, the Lord is my shepherd? He maketh me to lie down. He restoreth my soul. It's a personal thing for a child of God to feel like and understand that Jesus is his Savior and Lord. And why? Because he comes to us. When does he come? Elder O.V. Marshall, Vaughn Marshall, which is my father, said that Uncle Louis Griffiths, was a Holiness Baptist, I believe that's what they call them. He was a Holiness Baptist preacher. Said Uncle Louis said, 60 years ago probably, says, I know when the Spirit came to me. The Spirit came to me under the hog plum bush down by the road. Well, now, I don't know when the Spirit came to me, brethren and sisters, do you? I know there I feel like John the Baptist leaped for joy 3 months before he was born as a natural baby into this world. The Spirit touched his heart, and in the salutation of Mary. In